Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. We are always thrilled. The films She Dies Tomorrow, Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, and Retaliation, No Challenge. Hello, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. I know it really is true, isn't it? You can make a whole novel out of those titles alone.
First paragraph, at least, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know. It sounds like sort of a downbeat week for us this week, and I guess it sort of is. Although the movies themselves are pretty good for the most part. I last week I was being so grumpy I didn't like anything, but this week, you know, they're all flawed films, but mainly they're all screaming. you can see them, even though, as we know, movie theaters remain mostly closed, and it remains pretty uncertain as to whether they will ever open up again. But for the time being, we have movies that are streaming, and in fact, all of these I think are pretty effectively watched on home screens. Anyway, to turning to the movies themselves, She Dies Tomorrow. Now that is certainly an intriguing title, I guess, and it was written and directed by Amy Simetz, who is really a multi-talented person. She's quite well known as an actor as well, and here she is not the star of this movie, but she wrote and directed it, and it's a movie about a young woman who has decided that she is in fact going to die tomorrow, and it is unclear why. Now, she is she's apparently a recovering alcoholic, and she is a fairly lonely person who apparently doesn't interact with a whole lot of other people. But it's unclear as to just why she has decided she's going to die tomorrow, but she's really quite sure of that. And she is in a state of somewhat anxiety about this, but you know, she's not really quite sure how to react or what to do about it. So she then tells this to a friend of hers, and a little bit later on in the movie, her friend decides that she is also going to die tomorrow. So it turns out that we have a sort of a contagion going on here. One person thinks she's going to die tomorrow, and then another person. So anyway, what this movie primarily deals with is this long night where our main character and her friend, and eventually some others too, start to think they are in fact going to die tomorrow. And along the way, there's a party, and there's a scene with a person who is apparently actually is going to die tomorrow, an old person who is in a hospital bed all hooked up to machines and whatnot, and so forth. So we have a movie which is pretty much steeped in death. However, the movie is not about morbidity or even particularly necessarily about mortality. It's really a movie which is very much about its own sort of aesthetic, about its own look. There was a phrase coined some time ago for a certain kind of movie, the cinema du look. And this is, in a way, that sort of film, because it's very much about how things look and how things sound and how people appear and behave as they go through these bizarre and ultimately pretty unexplained psychological situations. So we have the movie sometimes fills with swirling shapes and colors, which may be visions or hallucinations, or they just may be the film punctuating its own sort of minimalist story. It never quite becomes clear. This movie has been called a perfect film for the current coronavirus pandemic. Even though the movie was finished before the pandemic broke out, it is very much about people living in a kind of, almost a kind of a limbo world, a world of in-betweenness, a world where there's a lot of anxiety about what's going to happen next, and certainly there's a lot of anxiety about health and about just what is going to become of us all. So in that way, the movie is kind of prophetic, or at least prescient, and I think Amy Simetz deserves credit for being very much in tune with current moods, even before those current moods took their current form. in the pandemic that we're all still in the midst of right now. It's a very, very nicely acted movie, primarily by Caitlin Shell, who plays the main character, Amy. There's a lot of supporting performances by a good, diverse, interesting cast. And She Dies Tomorrow, it's not a great film or anything like that. In fact, it's quite a small movie. But it is the kind of film I like in that it's very suggestive, it's very elusive, it sort of suggests moods to us without hammering us with anything. We are invited to enter this space, live in this space, this sort of strange, bizarre, slightly unsettling space for the course of a little under an hour and a half. And I like movies like that. I like movies that take me out of my world and bring me into another world, even though in this case it's not a world, which is a very happy world. And I also like movies that sort of set up mysteries without having to wrap everything up into neat packages at the end. So I recommend She Dies Tomorrow. It's being sold as sort of a horror film. It's also being sold as a comedy. It is definitely not a comedy. And it is not really a horror film. It's unusual enough that it sort of defies classification into the usual genres, and that's another thing which I give it credit for. Next film I'd like to talk about, Jill, is called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets. So yeah, we're not entering particularly a gentle space yet. In fact, we won't today on our show. But this is a very, very different kind of a movie. This is a movie that takes place about 4 years ago. It apparently is during the election, the 2016 election, which is coming through every once in a while on the TV set in a Las Vegas saloon. A bar called The Roaring Twenties, which is where the whole film pretty much takes place. Now, this is a movie that was made by a couple of filmmakers named Bill Ross IV and Turner Ross. And it's not really a documentary. It's all, you know, it's all made up. But it's not really a narrative film either, because it doesn't really have a story. We just enter this environment and we meet all of these denizens of this saloon who apparently hang out there pretty much every night, and the saloon is going to close. So this is sort of the big last night when everybody is having a good time knowing that they won't have a time like this again, and that makes it a little bit extra special. I think the imminent closing of the saloon is also a kind of a metaphor for the imminent closing of a certain kind of American life, which took place when Trump was elected, which apparently is happening on this very night when we're watching the movie. So, yes, Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, those things do enter into the film from time to time, but it's certainly not a movie about violence. It's not a movie about poverty or anything like that. It's a movie about really, really, really ordinary people, the kind of people who just like to hang out in a saloon and have fun, and most of them know each other, and most of them sort of care about each other, but on the other hand, they're just people who hang out in a saloon, so there's no heavy emotions hanging over much of anything. I have to say, this movie took me back to my own saloon days, which were long before 2016. I was somewhat of a saloon hanger-out back in my college days, and it reminded me of a bar where I used to go with my friends back in the 1960s. And it really, things change, but things stay the same. There were a lot of things that reminded me of specifics of that bar where I used to hang out with my friends, even though this movie takes place decades, decades, decades later. So it's a movie that you sort of have to be in the mood for, but as I said with She Dies Tomorrow, although in this case it's very different because this movie definitely has very strong docudrama atmosphere about it. It's a movie that just takes you into a certain environment and lets you be in that environment and hang out in that environment for roughly an hour and a half. And if that's what you're in the mood for, you'll have a good time. Again, it's a movie if you want to get away from wherever you are and just enter another time, another place, and be with a bunch of people you've never seen before and will probably never see again because they're just people who hang out in this bar. Very convincingly acted, by the way. I wonder how many of these people are really barflies in real life. If you just want to enter that sort of environment and be in it for a while just for fun, it's a nice movie. Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets is more fun than that title makes it sound. Final movie I'd like to talk about today, Retaliation, is in ways the most interesting. It was directed by a couple of filmmakers who have not done a whole lot of prior work, Ludwig Shamassian and Paul Shamassian, also known as the Shamassian Brothers. There are so many brother teams making movies nowadays, and this is one of them. Retaliation was written by one Jeff Thompson, and it stars Orlando Bloom, and that's really one of the big selling points of the movie. Orlando Bloom is a very, very good actor, and oh, he has a very, very meaty part here that he really is able to sink his teeth into. It's a very unusual movie in some ways. It's a very almost cliched movie in other ways, and it sort of oscillates back and forth. And I'll say right now that it's around 2 hours long, and I will say that, well, actually it's not, it's about an hour and a half long, and I will say for more than an hour I found it really, really, really interesting, because it's about things that the movies don't deal with very often. And then in the last part, maybe the last 15 minutes, maybe even the last 10 minutes, to my mind, it veers way off the rolls. Veers off everything. I found the ending of it very unconvincing, and I was just sort of sitting there watching it and shaking my head and saying, oh, how sad to see a good movie make such bad decisions near the end. That said, it's a very interesting movie, and again, it's a movie that deals in some ways with cliched subjects, but in some ways with very original subjects. So anyway, what's it about? Retaliation is the story of a guy named Malcolm, or Malky, as he is called by almost everybody, and he has a very unusual job. He works for a demolition company. This appears to be a demolition company which specializes in demolishing churches. Now, I was not aware that there is a subset of businesses, of demolition companies, that demolish churches, but that's what this one does, and that's what Malky does for a living. He is a church demolisher. He and the construction gang, or destruction gang, that he works with, that's what they do. They get off in the morning, and they go off to the church that's being demolished at the moment, and they wield their wrecking balls and their sledgehammers and so forth and so on. And, you know, this is all, you know, very legitimate stuff. Presumably, these churches are being demolished so new churches can be built. And whatever this movie is, it is definitely not anti-religion, although in some ways it can be said to be anti-certain churches. In any case, that's what Malky does for a living. He works with a gang, a work gang that demolish churches. And we see him at work at that at the very beginning of the movie, which is intercut with a sort of raving evangelical type preacher who is preaching out in the public square about how we have to repent our sins because the Lord is God. And, you know, that kind of thing, which we've all heard a lot. And there's a lot of people who sincerely believe that if we don't repent our sins, we might be whisked off to hell tomorrow. So it's interesting. We have this intercutting between the demolishing of the church and this preacher preaching vigorously away in the public square. And, of course, these two storylines, the preacher and the demolishing of the church, intersect. We then get to know more about Malky and about his private life. He spends a lot of time taking care of his old mother. By the way, this is all in England. His old mum, who worries about him and doesn't think he's eating enough and he's working too hard and this kind of thing and that kind of thing. And we know that there is something going on in their past, because Malky sees early in the film an old man, which sets off, obviously triggers in him, and he becomes incredibly tense and incredibly upset and incredibly worried about something. And his mother notices this, but he won't tell her what's wrong. Little by little, we find out that the old man is a priest who once lived in the area and has left the area and is now coming back to the area. And for some reason, this is setting off all kinds of alarm signals in Malky, who is very, very, very upset about even seeing this old guy, and we don't know why. Now, I'm not exactly going to give a spoiler here, but in a movie where somebody gets really upset at the very sight of an old priest, we think that maybe this is going to be another one of the many films about the Roman Catholic pedophile priest scandals. And yes, that is what Retaliation turns out to be about, in a very large way. But we have a long time to build up until we get to that point. What we mainly have is Malky's rage at something. It appears to have something to do with this priest, but his rage building up, and he starts to get into more and more tense situations and even violent situations with other people, and we figure that some kind of a confrontation is ultimately happening. Now, what is most interesting about this movie is, and by the way, he also interacts with that preacher who we saw early on, who is a very different kind of a religious figure. So, what's interesting about this movie is that it appears to be building up to a retaliation, and it is. The title of the movie is Retaliation, but it turns out to be a retaliation of a kind which is maybe opposite from what we might have expected. And we figure that Malky, who is a pretty violent guy and who sometimes walks around with a hammer and is all set to really wreak some horrible violence on some person who he just has a momentary rage at, you figure, oh, something's going to happen between him and that old priest. And it finally does, but in ways that are very, very, very different from what you might have expected. And right up through that point, almost to the end of the film, I found this a fascinating offbeat take on a certain kind of a religious doctrine, which is very rarely even treated in the movies, much less taken seriously. Then, as I said earlier, at the very, very end of the movie, maybe about the last 5 or 10 minutes, it goes just off the rails and turns into what I regarded as over-the-top melodrama that I found utterly unconvincing. Most of the way, though, Retaliation is a fascinating movie. And if you're interested in religious doctrine and the kind of complexities of it and unusual ways in which it can be taken, I absolutely would steer you toward Retaliation. Not many movies deal seriously with religion, aside from things like pedophile priest scandals. And this is a movie that really does. And in very interesting ways, I only wish that it didn't lose its way, wander off the path near the end. Without that, it would be one of the best movies of the year. So that is my somewhat, I guess downbeat story this week, Jill.
Well, it's medium, but thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films She Dies Tomorrow, Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, and Retaliation.